kind of like this guy. Just this week, we celebrated 43 years of marriage. Woo! That's pretty good. That's wonderful, isn't it? Especially in today's society, because it's such a throwaway society. You know, everybody just wants to, oh, I'm tired of that person. Just let's go and find someone else. But, you know, I'll stick with him for the next 43 years. So you may be seated. Okay, young people, do you have the Word of God with you? Older people, do you have your Bible with you? I read a message this week on Instagram and it a little bit stirred my heart because I also use social media a little bit, not too much, but I also use the Bible on my iPad. I use the Bible on my phone as well. But you know what? When I come into the house of God and when I do my devotions at home, I want to read the Word of God. But in this message that came through on my social media this week, it said, if we don't begin to use our Bibles and wear them out, that means the printing press might go out of business. And that means we might not have the Bibles we want. That's terrible. And I know that's the case because we were in Cairns just recently on our way to Boigu Island and my husband wanted to get a new Bible. Do you know it's like trying to find a needle in a haystack to get a King James Bible? So my encouragement to you tonight is use your Bible, underline it, underscore it, read it, and make it part of your life. Then you have to buy a new one and then you leave your Bible for your kids or your grandchildren or someone. I know Jonathan absolutely loves the Bible that his grandmother had and it's underlined and all the rest of it. So the Bible, the Word of God is very precious. I know it's just paper, but it's the Word of God to us. And in fact, I still have the love letters that were written 45 years ago. Why shouldn't I have the Word of God written to me however many years ago? Amen? So that's our first challenge, right? I'm out for young people and older people tonight. I come with a passion. How many made New Year's resolutions? Does anybody ever do that this week, this year, these days? All right, honesty, how many have already failed? Right, it didn't work, huh? I'm after you, each one of you. How many made decisions at conference when the preaching of the Word of God came with such conviction and you decided, yep, I'm going to get on board and I'm going to do whatever the Lord was speaking to you about? How many? Okay, have you kept it every day? Good. About 346 days ago, I decided I was going to read the Bible through in 1 year. I just said to my husband the other day, I have 21 more days to go, and I've read the Bible every day for 1 year, read through the Bible in 1 year. Did I remember everything? No. But the challenge is what I like. And my message is not a new message. In fact, I have spoken this kind of once before. But I have a dream. I have a desire to be successful in the kingdom of God. To be successful. And I want to be the best that I can be. I'm not competing against anybody else, but I am competing against myself. So if you say to me, you'll never be able to do it, I'm just going to give it a go because I hate to be beaten. It's something within me. It's a drive that I have because many times I might not have the intelligence, I might not have the physical strength, but I do have the desire to be the best that I can be. So somebody's going to put a picture up here. And now that my husband and I are getting older and been married for so many years, we sit there and we talk about our dreams. Remember when? If only life had been different. If only this hadn't happened, then I would be this or I would be that. Has anybody got to that age yet? Good. Because dreams are what we aspire to do and to accomplish. So remember when. But you know, sometimes when people get to that age, it's nothing but sadness. Because, you know, they remember the good times and they remember their failings and they remember the decisions they made, but they didn't have the willpower to follow through with that. So I never want to get to that stage where I'm sitting there and regretting the days that I have had. So tonight, Psalm 37 verse 4, open your Bibles. Let's hear the pages. Okay. James, would you like to read that for me? Psalm 37. Who's got a Bible? Michelle? Okay, come on, Michelle, stand up and read it. Most of you will know this. Big voice. Stand, please, for the reading of the word. Sorry. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Everybody say that with me. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's not just words. That is saying if you commit your life to God, delight in him and his ways, he will give you the desires of your heart. So if you want to be great in God's kingdom, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And it's not about delighting to be yourself, like lifting yourself up. It's delighting yourself for God to glorify his name. Ephesians 3:20. Alex, have you got that? Ephesians 3:20? No? Okay, somebody who's got... Kylie, have you got that? Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him... Come on, you should know this. Who is able to do far more abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. And I have a pretty good imagination, so God can do even more than I can think. But it's according to the power of God that worketh in us. We need to have the power of God working in us. Proverbs 29 verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, where there is no revelation of God's will, the people will perish. And that's not just the people who don't know about God. That is us. If we do not have a vision, if we do not have a revelation of what God requires of us, we will perish. We'll become nothing. Proverbs 21:25 says, the desire of the slothful, the lazy, it killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Brothers and sisters, we must not refuse to labor in the kingdom of God. It will kill us if we don't work for the Lord. I have always personally been challenged and inspired by great people. You know, it's not hard to be energized when you hear about somebody who's come from rags to riches. You read those stories. Anyone else like reading those stories? You feel inspired by that? I think, well, goodness me, if they can do it, I have a God who is able to do far more exceeding abundantly according to the power that worketh in us. I can do it as well. And I'll give it a go. I'll give it my best shot. So I pulled out a few names. Franklin D. Roosevelt. He was the president of the United States for 4 terms. But this young, as a young man, I think at the age of 4, he contracted polio. He had facial paralysis. He had bowel and bladder dysfunction. He had numbness in his limbs. He had fevers, and yet he went on to serve the people of America. Many of us would have given up, but he didn't give up. I had to do this one for Daniel. What about Superman? Christopher Reeve, I think his name was, you know, the Superman that I remember. He was a quadriplegic, became a quadriplegic when he was thrown from his horse. But he was in a wheelchair. He needed a ventilator to breathe. He believed through his exhaustive exercise regime, and he worked tirelessly to promote medical advances. He didn't give up on life just because life had not been kind to him. Another one that you'll all know, because the tennis season is all starting, is Novak Djokovic, a famous tennis player. He lived through the war in Belgrade. He came from a very, very poor family, but given a tennis racket at a very young age, he was going to be a world champion. Guess what? He is a world champion. Brothers and sisters, I believe whatever we set our mind to do, we can do it for the kingdom of God. If these people can do it and they don't know the Lord like we do, how much more can we do? Now, I will tell you, when I first got saved, I had a dream that I was going to buy. This was before I met my husband. I was going to buy a tip-top truck and I was going to tell the world. I was going to travel around. I was going to pack it up in the back with my mattress and my bedding and the Bible, of course, and I was going to tell everybody about Jesus. My desire was to evangelize because God had done so much for me that I was going to go and tell everybody how great our God is. Well, I never did buy the tip-top truck, and I've never traveled around Australia to tell everybody in a tip-top truck, but I have traveled a lot. I had a dream that I was going to be a woman of prayer. I had a dream and a vision that if I would just lay hands on people, by the power of God, they would be healed. I wanted to be disciplined because I wanted to serve my God and I wanted him to be great in my life. And I know if all of you would come up, you would all have stories about your dreams. But tonight there are some of you who have had dreams, but you've let them die. And tonight I want to help you to rekindle those things again. Sometimes suffering has caused you to lay aside your dream. You know, we say, oh, do you remember when that happened? Remember that service where you gave your heart to God and how God changed everything? But then you walk out and nothing has changed. Sometimes when I know that young people, and myself included, we come to the altar and we decide that, yes, when I get up from here, I am going to do whatever God has said. And you know what? Before I even hit the back door, I've even forgotten my promise. But tonight I'm here to ask you to rekindle those things that God has put in your heart. So, do you have a dream? Who has a dream? What's your dream? How great is your dream? If God is your partner, then dream big. Is there something burning inside of you that you want more than anything? Is there something burning inside of you that you would give your life the pearl of great price? That man had to sell everything to gain the pearl of great price. Is your dream so compelling that you would sell out to gain his favor? Maybe something that you have put aside because of daily challenges got in the way. What is your dream and what was your dream? Two questions. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. And that's including your dream. We have an adversary of our soul. He doesn't want us to fulfill our dreams. So when you have a dream, the enemy is out to kill, steal, and to destroy that dream. Jesus is looking for a church that is famous, above all, because of its love. The Bible says in John chapter 12, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." Why? Because you have love one for another. So Jesus wants a church that's famous. Famous for what? For love. We need to show forth that love of God. That's a dream that we have, that we would be more loving than anyone else, that we would be more kind than anyone else. And we should be. Why? Because we have a God who is love. God is love. Do you remember when you first encountered Jesus? I remember. Do you all remember the night, the day, the morning, whatever it was, when you first were exposed to the love of God? I remember, and I'll share it with you. I went off to a house meeting, and the people that were running the house meeting were South African people. And the service was going on, and then there was a tongues and interpretation. I now know. I'm not a church person at this stage, right? I've never been to church. And anyhow, we went, and the tongues and interpretation came. And then, well, the interpretation came, and I just thought, oh, this is the English saying what was said. And it was. It was my life revealed. When I first heard the tongues, I thought, that's South African speaking, you know. But then when the English came, there were things that were in that interpretation that only were pertaining to me, because God knows where we are. And we heard that this morning. God knows exactly where you are, and he will meet you where you are. So I remember that, and that's why my desire was to go and tell everyone how great our God was and is. So young people, I'm aiming. Anyone under the 60 is young, right? So if you're under 60, you're young. I'm looking for you. Do you have a dream of abundant life? Do you have a dream for an abundant ministry? What price will you pay? What are you willing to give up to have that abundant ministry? What about the gifts that are given by the Spirit of God? To lay hands on the sick. Does anyone want to be used? Amen. What price will you pay? Does anyone want to know how to intercede and to break the barriers that bind people? It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the elders in the church. It's for the body of Christ to be able to minister as the body of Christ should. But what price will we pay to be used by God? I have a dream to be used by the Lord, and I'm going after it. What about some of you? Do you want to be an effective evangelist or a Bible teacher? Are there any missionaries here? Does anyone want to go across the seas and tell the people who don't know about Jesus? Does anyone have a desire to do that? Is it in your heart to do it? Because sometimes it just starts off as a little seed. Oh, I'd like to do that. And then it dies if you don't start to build on it. You have to have a dream and then work towards those dreams. But I want to warn you tonight that Satan, the adversary, is out there to destroy those dreams. He'll bring everything against you, and he will try you, he'll test you. But are you going to live true to your dream? We won't talk about the tall, dark, and handsome that I'm sure many of you thought you were going to marry. I did marry my tall, dark, and handsome, but we won't go there. But you know what? We have to have a dream. A dream is what makes us come alive when we work towards our dreams. When you make up your mind that you are going to walk in your dreams and the desires and the visions that God has given you, the enemy will come against you. Remember that. But don't give up. Never give up. When God puts something inside of you, hold on to it, because he will bring it to pass. Moses, a great man, he was called to be great. But do you know what the Bible says? He was content to dwell somewhere. Moses had left Egypt and he had no definite plan. Simply, he wanted to save his life. But Moses was raised for greater things. And you know, when Moses had that encounter with the burning bush, God gave him another chance to be great. He was raised for greatness. And so are we. We are called to be children of God. We are called to be the children of light. Why would we sit in darkness? Why would we be mediocre and not excellent? Contentment with godliness with contentment is great gain, but contentment to just be mediocre is not on. It's not on in the Downs' household, and it's not on in the Church of God. It is not on. We strive for excellence. So, I want to challenge you about your dreams, older and younger. Dreams that you have had for yourselves. Dreams that you have had. Some of you have unsafe family. Do you dream that one day you'll see them walk through the doors of the Church of God? What will you do to make it come to pass or help it come to pass? Don't be content just to let your dreams disappear and then you will be like this old couple. Where are we? Just sitting there. Remember when? If only life had been a bit different. If only we'd been more strict with our kids. If only, if only. Remember when? Don't become like those two sitting there. And I don't know what they're talking about, but, you know, I'll just leave it at that. Don't be content to let your dreams just disappear. David had a dream. David in Chronicles chapter 22, I think it is, he had a dream to build the house of God. And he wanted to build it exceeding magnifical. And that's the word of God, magnifical. Exceeding magnifical. But because he was a man of blood, he couldn't build the house of God himself. But he laid up in store that the house of God and the fame of it would go throughout all the land. Maybe you may not be able to bring to pass your dream. Maybe you can help someone else bring to pass their dream. Satan will try to destroy your dreams. The fulfillment of a dream will not just happen. Achievements and progress require exertion, effort, and a couple of D's, discipline and determination and dedication. We need those things to bring to pass our dreams. Nothing worthwhile is ever easy. Can I hear an amen? Amen. If you really want to work hard for something, you will achieve. Greatness in God's kingdom comes through service. Service. Tall skyscrapers go way down before they start to go up. And Jesus only used the word easy once that I can find. And that was in relation to his yoke. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know that you'll find Jesus using the word easy anywhere else. My yoke is easy. What is the yoke that the Lord wants to put on us? It's his teachings. His ways, they are easy. It's hard, Paul was told. It's hard to get a kick against the pricks. In his teachings, we often hear the words, stand strong, stand firm. When your dreams are in line with God's vision, it does become easy. When we strive against God's will, it's hard. The fulfillment of a dream may not happen straight away. As I said before, sometimes there's a seed planted and it takes time to bring that seed to fruition. If you're a gardener and you plant some seeds, you would be very foolish to go out tomorrow morning and try and dig up the seed. It will not come to pass. It will not bring forth anything. Films, the older ones will remember this. You used to have a camera, you took your film, then you took the film into the pharmacy and they developed the film. It would go off into the dark room. But you know what? It was in the dark room where the image came. And if the light was exposed, then it was overexposed and you got nothing. So sometimes when you have a dream, nothing happens. It feels like it's failing and it's fallen apart. But it takes time for dreams to come to pass. It takes time for the lily. It grows underground for so long before it actually starts to bring forth its glory. And so it will be with your dream. So don't give up. Stay under a covering. Young people, sometimes when you're ministering and, you know, somebody will come up to you and say, oh, you're a great preacher. You need to do this, 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 this. No, no, stay under the covering of a pastor. Don't think that you can do it on your own. You may be great when you're under a covering, and there will come a time when you will go out and you will do those other things. So don't be discouraged if your dream takes time to come to pass. Trust God, wait on Him, but don't let your dream die. Some of us say, well, I'm dreaming, but I don't dream like I used to. I think, oh, life's boring. I'm happy to come to the house of God when the doors are open. Is that all we're raised for? We're raised for greater things. I don't want to be just a pew warmer. I want to be great in God's kingdom. What about the most famous dreamer? Anyone like to tell me who it was? Joseph, of course. He was 17 years old when he got his dream and he told his brothers. He was so excited because he knew his dream came from God. And I won't go into all the details, but he was sold as a slave. He worked hard. He was put in prison. He was accused. He was abused. All sorts of things happened to poor Joseph. I don't even think that he thought that was part of his dream. How would his brothers ever bow down to him now he's in prison? But that was all part of it. And if you read the scripture, it says that God was with Joseph. And everything that Joseph did, he did with excellence. He was taken from the pit to the palace. Faithfulness starts small. As Joseph was living the life of a slave, doing the humiliating, menial work demanded of him, God was watching and God was working. And all the time, Joseph remained faithful to his God. And that's a secret. If you have a dream, remain faithful to God. The Lord was with Joseph, according to Genesis 39, verse 2, and made all that Joseph did to prosper. The Lord blessed the house of in Egypt all because of Joseph. Joseph was goodly and well-favored, and promotions came his way. The Lord was with Joseph, and all that he did, the Lord made to prosper. 15 years, the pit, the palace, the slave, accused, but Joseph remained faithful. Before his dream came to pass, when his brothers came into him, and you all know the story, I don't have to go into it, but when his brothers bowed down, Joseph remembered his dream. What will it take for us to remember the dream that once sparked our life? Delays, disappointments, setbacks, defeats, personal failures, misunderstandings by other people. But the worst place for us to dwell is in the rest home of retirement. Sure, these things, we are not promised an easy life. There will be delays and disappointments. But if we will remain faithful to God, He will help us. He will bring it to pass in our life. Situations do not have to steal our dreams, and we do not need to let other people steal our dreams. It's a personal choice. We choose to move into the retirement of our dreams, or we choose to put some fire in our dreams and start to rekindle them. I know that each one of us had a dream at one stage. We wanted to do something for God. Am I right? Or does everybody just want to be a pew warmer? So tonight I want to ask you to rekindle the dream that you once had. Romans and Corinthians declares to us that all the things that are written before, or the things in the Old Testament, are there for our learning. We are to be encouraged by those things. So when you read the life of Joseph, his legacy to us is to stay faithful, remembering that God is faithful. Joseph stayed faithful to his dream because God was faithful to him. So live the life of your dream. There will always be obstacles, according to Roy Bennett. He says, when you start living the life of your dreams, there will always be obstacles. Doubters, yes. Mistakes, yes. Setbacks along the way. But with hard work, perseverance, and self-belief, there is no limit to what you can achieve in the kingdom of God. If we commit our ways to the Lord, He will bring it to pass. He will give us the desires of our heart. So how successful do you want to be? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Or 10 years, or 15 years. Have you set yourself some goals? Life is short, and as we're getting older, I realize, where have all those years gone? What have I done? But success in God's kingdom comes down to our attitude, our effort, and our focus. I can't have your dream. And I really can't steal your dream. I can make it harder for you to make it come to pass by being in opposition to you. But you ultimately are responsible for your dream. Nothing in this world is worth having or worth doing unless it means effort, pain, and difficulty. This is Theodore Roosevelt. He said, I have never in my life envied a human being who led an easy life. I have envied great many people who led difficult lives and led them well. And that's what it is. We are not promised a bed of roses. We are promised that God is faithful if we remain faithful to Him. So don't stand by and let your weeks become months, and your months become years, and then decades, and then you say, remember when? Now, if you sit in 40 years' time, if you say, well, I remember Sister Downs, she told us to get our dream and get on with it, and you still haven't done anything, shame on you. Tonight we're going to rekindle our dreams, okay? Each of us have to rekindle our dreams. And we need to watch out for the dream stealers. They are out there. The thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. So young people, get a dream and go after it. Wake up our dreams, older people. Wake up the vision, because as long as you are asleep, you cannot live out your vision. Failures, we all fail at times, but failures, thank God, are not final. We can go to our God and He can rekindle that in us. We can get up from our failures. Your disappointments don't need to determine your destiny. We choose our destiny. So it takes diligence, intention, priority, and purpose. They are action words. We can't live a mediocre, average life. We have to be exceptional. We have a God who is great. We have a God who is mighty. We serve him. And I read it before, according to the power that worketh in us. We have the power of God working in us so we can be great. Amen? Does anybody want to be great? Yes, let's be great in God's kingdom. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, what does the scripture say? He will perform it. He will perform it. If God has given you a dream, he will bring it to pass. So tonight, if your dream has grown dim, ask God to revitalize it, resurrect it. Yesterdays do not have to be your prison. Yesterday is the past. Tomorrow is the future. Today is our gift. That's why it's called the present. We can make decisions today that will affect our futures. So don't let other people steal your dreams. Don't even allow fear or self-doubt. Stop making excuses for yourself. Stop procrastinating. I have a perfectionist in our house, and I think perfectionists are procrastinators, somewhat. So we have to stop procrastinating. Just give it your best shot. Be the best that you can be, because that's what God requires, nothing more than our best. So I am confident that God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it if you allow him to. And I'm finishing, but I want to ask you the question that Jesus asked somebody in John chapter 5. He said, will you be made whole? He asked the man who was ill, will you be made whole? So I'm asking you tonight, will you let your dream be rekindled? Will you allow that desire that once was burning in your heart to let God bring it alive in your life again? Don't settle to be mediocre. If God has put his hand upon you to be in the ministry, be the best that you can be. Go out after it, because life is so short and you will be sitting on the front porch saying, if only. Oh, remember when. Believe it, it'll be sooner than what you want. God desires to do great things through us, his church. He has given us life, he has given us a purpose, and he has given us a calling. And you are the ones. Yes, we cannot do everything, but we can, by the grace of God, do the thing that he has called us to do. So we need to avoid apathy. We need to avoid making excuses why it doesn't happen. And start disciplining and being dedicated and being determined to be the best that we can be. When David wanted to build the house of God, he wanted it to be exceeding magnificent. Why? Because the fame of it would go across the lands. And God has blood-washed church. That's us. He has called us to be exceeding magnificent, showing love that the people out there will say, let me go and find the same God that they serve. Brothers and sisters, let's stand tonight. And yes, I am asking you to find a place before the presence of God, because this is a great church. And we don't need to just come in on Sunday morning and sit on the pew and let the pastor do the work. Let the worship leader bring us into the presence of God. But where are those who will pray? Where are those who will bring in the unsaved? Where are those who are burdened for their families? That's our work. Angels weren't sent to tell the world about Jesus. That's our work. And He has changed our life. We need to tell others about His goodness. Let's sing this song together. Think about your dream. Commit it again to God.
Who loves me?
I know some of you have a desire to be evangelists, but ask God to give you a deep passion for souls. You don't have to sing, that's fine.
Take me to that place, Lord.
Take me back to that place, Lord.
Where I can be with you. You can make me like you.
Yes, Lord, make us like you.
Grab me in your arms. Grab me in your arms. Who loves me?